I can't remember a time when I wasn't. You know, when I was growing up, it's probably about 8 years old, and at the time, we were living in Silver Spring. Yeah. Yes. Common misconception about me in D.C., a lot of people think I'm from the hood. That's not true. But I never bothered to correct anybody because I wanted the streets to embrace me. As a matter of fact, I kept it up as a ruse. Like, sometimes I'll hang out with rappers like Nas and them, and these motherfuckers will start talking about the projects. Yo, it was wild in the PJs, yo. And I'll be like, word, nigga, word. But I don't know. I have no idea. My parents did just well enough so that I could grow up poor around white people. And to be honest, when Nas and them talk about the projects, nigga, I used to get jealous. Because it sounded fun. Everybody in the projects was poor. And that's fair. But if you were poor in Silver Spring, nigga, it felt like it was only happening to you. Nas does not know the pain of that first sleepover at a white friend's house. And you come back home on Sunday and just look at your parents like, y'all need to step your game up. Everything at Timmy's house works. Remember the first time you saw that? In a cold winter, and you'd be at a white friend's house and see the motherfuckers in their living room without their coats on? Timmy was one of my first white friends, like, in my life, man. He's a good dude, too. He moved to Silver Spring from Utah, of all places. I guess his family was affiliated with that Mormon church they got down there. And me and him used to hang out. And one day I was at his house, we were just hanging out. And Timmy says, Dave, why don't you stay for dinner tonight? I said, oh, man, I'd love to, but I can't. If I'm not home before dark, my mother will kill me. That was a lie. My mother had several jobs. I hadn't seen her in like 3 or 4 days. And the only reason I lied to Timmy was because at that point in my life, it was my experience that white dinner wasn't delicious. I'd rather go home and fry some bologna or some shit like that. But then old Timmy threw me a curveball I wasn't expecting. He said, oh, it's too bad you can't stay, Dave, because Mom made stovetop stuffing. I said, what the fuck, stovetop? Well, hold on, nigga, let me make some phone calls real quick. I had seen that commercial so many times, I had dreamt of getting my hands on some of that stovetop stuffing. And finally, I met a motherfucker that actually had a box of stovetop in the house. I couldn't miss this opportunity, so I pretended to call my mother. And then I came back and I said, Timmy, you're not gonna believe this great news. Mom said I can stay. And he said, fantastic. He said, why don't you come with me and we'll help set the table and then we can say the blessing. I had no interest in setting this motherfucker's table or saying these crazy-ass Mormon prayers. I just wanted that goddamn stuffing. So I told Timmy, I said, you know what? I'd love to help, but let me go wash my hands first. My plan was simple. Wash my hands slowly, and by the time I'm done, the table will be set, the blessing will be said, and all that there will be left to do is eat. Went to the bathroom. I washed my hands very slowly. I must have been in there for about 10 minutes. And suddenly, one of his mothers came to the door. She was like, hi, David, right? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, Timmy tells me that you're planning on staying for dinner. I said, I hope that's not a problem, ma'am. She says, no, it's no problem. In fact, we'd love to have you. It's just that we weren't expecting company. And I'm afraid there's not enough stovetop stuffing for everybody. So I kicked her in the pussy. Bam! Ladies and gentlemen, I told you I'm dope, nigga. I told you what I was gonna say, and you still didn't see it coming. And that's why I make the big bucks.
Is anybody in here gay? Get her! No, it's good. I'm totally joking. This is New York. Are you gay for real?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know that gay marriage is illegal, right? Why do you think that that's illegal?
People suck. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that.
Do you even care about marriage?
Yeah, I want to get married. Go ahead.
It's really
to a girl or a guy?
Girl.
Just checking. Why do you think it's illegal?
People are scared of change.
Do you think so?
Morality.
Who said morality? Do you think so? I don't. Whose morality? Who said big business? She knows what's going on. Huh? Hmm? Yeah?
You and kids get married, you're going to wake up to the reality of problems of marriage just like everybody else.
And that's all good and well. You see, here's the thing. No matter what your morality is, it's still a secular society. So even if gay marriage is against my own personal beliefs, I can't necessarily believe a government that would say we don't want to do that for moral purposes. Not while you fucking bombing Iraq like that or sending motherfuckers to Afghanistan like that. I mean, this, you can't be hitting me with all this dubious-ass morality. They say morality because that's what their constituents need to hear and because they think that's what their constituents want to hear. But honestly, Bill Clinton said 90% of the shit that people talk about has nothing to do with what the actual job of the president is about. You think the president be sitting around, what time is it, 10 o'clock? Oh, we got that gay meeting. Hey, guys, what are we going to do about that? I mean, they don't give a fuck about it. Who actually is going to give a fuck? Big business. And I have a whole belief system about that you just don't want to know about. I'll tell you part of it. All right, listen, marriage laws are fucked up in America. I don't think that the government should have that much say in actually how people devise a marriage because a marriage, right, devoid of any kind of religious belief or emotion like love is a business contract, period and simple. And tons of people in Washington or legislative bodies, even guys like Elliot Spitzer that have wives or fuck prostitutes, live in loveless marriages. And they have these shits arranged because they're in such a high social stratosphere that they have to keep up a certain appearance. So why are they imprisoned by their own marriage? This is a form of economic slavery. And if you look at the way this shit happens, corporations were made legal in the United States by the 14th Amendment, right? Or 15th Amendment, which freed the slaves. And then under those rights, people said, we want the same rights as those motherfuckers as collective individuals, right? And if you're a collective individual and two collective individuals want to do business with one another, one's masculine, one is feminine, so they define a marriage institution between man and woman. But what if corporations is gay? I'm just saying. What if Aunt Jemima doesn't want to be with Uncle Ben? What if Aunt Jemima wants to do business with Sara Lee? Well, wait a minute. What if Uncle Ben wants to do business with Mr. Clean? That's all I'm saying. Guys, wait a minute. That's a little gay. I'm sorry, I thought that was funny. What if Aunt Jemima... I don't think that's what Mr. Clean was... Uncle Ben, wanna do this? Maybe I should have picked different companies. I put myself in a bad position. I'm just joking around. You're like, we don't want to hear this shit. It's just a conspiracy theory. I believe in aliens too, bitch. How about that? They're coming. Gay aliens, they're here. All that shit, fake. World Trade Center, fake. You wanna know who blew that shit up for real? I ain't gonna say that. You know, it's my own personal thing. I don't even wanna say that shit. You know who I think blew up the World Trade Center? Ashton Kutcher. America, you have been pumped. Why did he blow up the World Trade Center? I don't want to sound like a cynic. Shit was crazy, huh? I don't know the truth, but I know who does. Strippers. They know everything. Does anyone have a cigarette?
Yeah.
Sure. Good on you, mate. I wish I had it. Your accents are so nice. Huh? And I do listen to BBC News. We all listen to the BBC. You're all listening to the BBC. That's what he say all the time. GMT. Oh, every time you say what time it is, he goes, GMT. What does that mean? Whose mountain? Greenwich? Oh. It's the center. Oh, okay. Meantime. Greenwich Mean Time. Is that where the phrase mean time comes from?
Yeah, baby.
Wow, you can tell that your country conquered a lot of shit. Man. It's Greenwich Mean Time. I learn shit every day. It's Greenwich Mean Time. Have you ever heard that before? Yeah, bro, you ever heard that before?
Yeah, I've heard it.
Oh, you're from Ireland, though.
It's like hanging out down the middle of London, pretty much.
Greenwich?
Yeah.
Mean Time? What's so mean about it?
It's a timeline.
It's a timeline. Oh, okay.
Like, here would be green.
Okay. You ever seen a guy's mind stretch?
I buy for it. Like in the 24-hour, like 00, like
you know. Oh, I don't do that 24-hour clock shit. I hate that shit. It's 1500 o'clock. 1500.
Why do you got moved here? I like to easy, make life easy. Got blocks.
No, I don't like that shit. That's when it's good to have them strippers around. Strippers are like the Google of the streets. Never seen someone answer so many questions without a crystal ball. It's true. It's amazing. Skill sets. Girls, I'm an accountant. No. I'm a dog trainer. Every goddamn thing. It's amazing. All right. It was something hilarious, though. All this shit is depressing. Ashton Kutcher didn't blow up those buildings, by the way. I don't want you to think. I'm not going to put that on him. Huh?
If he did, who was he talking?
American people. American person is one of the most lied to people in the world. That's our whole game with America. Because freedom is not a privilege, my friend. It is a fucking burden. Because a free person has to make choices all the time. And you can't make a good choice unless you have the information. And in America, it's not like China. You know in China when they had earthquakes, you know what the headline was in the newspaper? What earthquake? They don't tell those people shit. In America, they'll tell you every goddamn thing. And then they don't prioritize the information. You got to figure all that shit out for yourself. That's right. The war will be breaking out and you'll be like, did Michael Jackson fuck them kids?
Nobody knew about it called LSD. By 1960, all the white kids in America were like, it works. And a new school of thought was unleashed on the American consciousness. People had never even thought like that before, and now they were thinking like that in mass. White kids in mass were like, fuck our parents' plans for us. By the time 1960 rolled around, the president of the United States was 42 years old. He was the next best hope. And they blew his brains out in Dallas, in fucking parade. That's the most gangster shit. There were 8 major assassinations in the 60s. Kennedy, X, King, Evers. And then by the 70s, the white youth culture and the Black Panthers and the Black youth culture started to merge. He started to see Timothy Leary meeting Eldridge Cleaver in Africa, not Oakland. And that was the beginning of the 70s, one of the most turbulent decades this nation has ever seen. And I say all that to say this, that in that turbulent historical context, Bill Cosby raped 34 people. Turn on the TV, I saw another old woman describing one of these antique rapes. These rapes were old school. They're like, and then Bill Cosby pulled my bloomers down. Bloomers? I saw him peering through me through a large cloud of vagina hair. Vagina hair? Seen that in years. I saw this shit, I said, these people are obviously trying to destroy Dr. Cosby's rich legacy.
Right?
34 allegations later, I was still like, man, they probably only raped 13 or 14 of those people. Do all that raping. It's like 50 fucking rapes. And don't forget, each one of these rapes have 8 hours of sleep in them. It's like 1,000 hours of rape. Packed into an otherwise busy schedule. Short corporate rapes, that's what I support. Why would they sleep? That's what I don't understand. Why Bill Cosby making all these girls sleep? Like, look, man, I'm not even as famous as Bill Cosby was, but I know 20 girls I could call right now and be like, yo, come to my place for a drink. And I'm gonna put something in it, and you're gonna fall asleep, and I'm gonna fuck you while you're sleeping. And they'd be like, cool, nigga, cool. What time you wanna come over? Is that a train? You hear that train? Trains do something to black people. Didn't you feel like running for that train? I've never been in a situation where I needed to. Something about being black, nigga, you just, when you hear a train, we'll see, like, I've gotta go. Just wanna run away. No, man, for real, it's not comfortable like it used to be. I don't know how transgender people beat black people in the discrimination Olympics. If the cops shot this many trannies, you'd be like, it's a goddamn conspiracy. The niggas gonna stop wearing high heels just to feel safe. Problem, officer? Was my bag and purse all matched? Is there a problem? It's too many, man. It's too many. There was one good one in California where the lady got beat up in traffic. You see that shit on YouTube?
Yeah.
And they beat the shit out of her. You watch the tape, you be like, well, what did she do? Turns out she didn't even do anything. But the good news is the city of LA decided that the court should award her $1.5 million for pain and suffering. Which, if you know anything about money, is as much Marcos Maidana made to fight Floyd Mayweather the second time. It's pretty good considering this woman never trained a day in her life. You can see it in the tape. She didn't come to fight. She took too many shots. Yeah, she covered her gut, punched her face. She just wasn't doing it right. What? You know what's funny about being in San Francisco? First of all, the city's not even gay anymore. Gay people can't afford to live there. They just visit. Gay people got their money tied up in other shenanigans. Where you from, bro? Where? Canada? Well, all right, you can get off the watch list. You know, America has a racial hot seat, which belongs to Black Americans, but I know you sat in it for a while. I can honestly say Arabs and Mexicans sat in that seat. And we, the Black Americans, would like to thank you both for your sacrifice and your struggle. Everybody goes through something, but at least I can leave my backpack someplace. You leave your backpack, you got 20 minutes to find that shit. Before they send a robot to blow your luggage up. Don't you remember San Francisco where that motherfucking tiger jumped out of the cage and bit those people up? And San Francisco is so gay, the whole city blamed the tiger. No, they blamed the victims. They didn't even say shit about the tiger. They said these people were teasing that tiger. That's irrelevant. Tigers should not be able to jump out of the cage and kill people at the zoo. They said that tiger chased one of his victims 400 yards. Listen, you know how fucking fast you have to run to outrun a tiger for 400 yards? He probably woke up in the hospital with an NFL recruiter standing over his bed. You did good, son. You did very good. I know this isn't a good time, but I'm with the Cincinnati Bengals. Complete coincidence. I think we can tie something in, do something really big with you. One of the guys the tiger bit was Mexican, and the other two were Arabs. I said, who trained this tiger? Homeland Security, like everybody? I get him, tiger some beans. You smell those beans? You can smell that? Go get them. There's some curry. I see a lot of Indians in San Francisco. I always wanted to be in a Bollywood movie. Because Bollywood movies are deep, but at the end of the movie, no matter what kind of movie it is, there's always a dance number to make you feel better when you go home. Even if it's Precious. At the end of the movie, Precious would just jump out of the coffin. I don't have AIDS. You ever see Precious? Boy, that was a sad movie. It was tough. If you haven't seen it, you know all the statistics of living in urban life in America. But if you could picture all those statistics happened to one person for 90 minutes, that was Precious. Life threw the book at that fat bitch. And the music haunted me. Because the music was breakbeats or something. If they had Eddie Vedder do the score for Precious, I'd have killed myself in the movie theater. They had some of that like Smashing Pumpkins. Just, Precious was morbidly obese. She couldn't read good. She was a victim of incest, and the baby had Down syndrome. Still the first verse, nigga. You gotta see the movie. She caught AIDS at the end. She might have had it the whole movie, but at the end she found out. That's one way to lose weight, you know. It's
fucking movie. Precious is a fictitious character. I'm sorry. It's a fucked up movie. It was a fucked up movie. I got scared when I went to see Straight Outta Compton and Eazy-E caught AIDS at the end. That shit freaked me out. Because I didn't know you could get AIDS from firing your manager. You didn't see Straight Outta Compton? Eazy-E caught AIDS in the last 10 minutes of the movie. He just started, you good, nigga? You all right? Yeah, I'm good. Who catches AIDS like that? AIDS does not sound like that. It's a racking cough. And AIDS, weird that a disease came out of nowhere in the 80s. That doesn't kill anybody but niggas, fags, and junkies. What kind of disease hates everybody that old white people hate? I think the government hid that shit in disco balls. Only fun people get AIDS. You never see that guy. Think I'm gonna stay home and read a book. Nigga, they would say, yeah, I think I'm gonna just go stay home and cook for myself. <All right. laughs> Remember when Donald Sterling made that tape? Said all those bad things about black people? That tape was fucked up. But that goes to show everybody, if you get old and white and racist in America, whatever you do, don't tell your black girlfriend about that shit, because that's who made the tape. She taped everything. The tape was embarrassing. He was like, stop bringing these black guys to my games. We were all listening like, well, how you gonna have a game without us? There's gonna be a lot of bounce passes and layups in that shit. And then it turned out the black guy he was speaking of was none other than Magic Johnson, NBA legend and billionaire. Unfucking believable. Didn't even mention the fact that he had AIDS, which is the first thing I would say to my girlfriend. This guy must be very racist if AIDS is the footnote. How many of y'all work for Google? Nobody? Thanks, Fuse. That air horn always pushes a joke through. You ever do something regular, but if you do it with the air horn, it sounds better. Like once I pulled my dick out at a New Year's Eve party. Real traumatic experience. I'd been drinking. It's really fucked up. I had to make all new friends. I did it on the 10 count. The motherfucker was like, 6, 5. And I was saying to myself, what if I pull my dick out? They said, 3. And then I looked down and said, oh no, it's out. Now, that air horn pushed me over the top. I pulled that shit out and his dick out, that really set the party off. I came back here where I started because I will shoot my final Netflix special tonight. That's right. And after this shit, it's time to make America wait again. I've done too well. You know, if you black in show business and do too well, it's scary, nigga. Like, you gotta get the fuck out of the casino while the getting's good, while you're still winning. If you don't walk away from the table, that's how niggas get Kevin Harted. You already know. That's my man. I'm just saying, if he got a sex tape out,
Well, it's just a matter of time for me. But you know why I be thinking sometimes I want to stop doing comedy? And you know, I don't want to sound like a braggart saying this, but the real, like, reason I want to stop is because I'm too goddamn good at it. I'm not even exaggerating. It's not exciting. Every night before I come out on stage, I'll be backstage like, I'm sure this is going to go well. And it always does. I'm so good at writing jokes, and this is not even an exaggeration. I actually write jokes backwards. I will write a punchline with no particular setup in mind. I just put it on a scrap of paper, and I'll throw that scrap of paper in my fishbowl. I have a fishbowl in my house filled with random punchlines. And every once in a while, I'll shake the bowl, and I'll dig in there and just pull one out and see if I can make that shit work. And I picked one for this special. It's not an easy punchline to pull off. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here it goes. The punchline is, so I kicked her in the pussy. I haven't finished the joke yet. I just know whatever happens in the beginning of the joke, at the end of the joke, for some reason, I'm gonna kick somebody in the pussy. And it's going to be hilarious. And you know what's weird? I've always remembered a time when I wasn't. You know, when I was growing up, it's probably about 8 years old. And at the time, we were living in Silver Spring. Yeah. Yes. Common misconception about me in D.C. A lot of people think I'm from the hood. That's not true. But I never bothered to correct anybody. Because I wanted the streets to embrace me. As a matter of fact, I kept it up as a ruse. Like, sometimes I'll hang out with rappers like Nas and them, and these motherfuckers will start talking about the projects. Yo, it was wild in the PJs, yo. And I'll be like, word, nigga, word. But I don't know. I have no idea. My parents did just well enough so that I could grow up poor around white people. And to be honest, when Nas and them talk about the projects, nigga, I used to get jealous. Because it sounded fun. Everybody in the projects was poor. And that's fair. But if you were poor in Silver Spring, nigga, it felt like it was only happening to you. I know the pain of that first sleepover at a white friend's house. And you come back home on Sunday and just look at your parents like, y'all need to step your game up. Everything at Timmy's house works. Remember the first time you saw that? In a cold winter, and you'd be at a white friend's house and see the motherfuckers in their living room without their coats on? Timmy was one of my first white friends, like, in my life, man. He's a good dude, too. He moved to Silver Spring from Utah, of all places. I guess his family was affiliated with that Mormon church they got down there. And me and him used to hang out. And one day I was at his house. We were just hanging out. And Timmy says, Dave, why don't you stay for dinner tonight? I said, oh, man, I'd love to, but I can't. If I'm not home before dark, my mother will kill me. That was a lie. My mother had several jobs. I hadn't seen her in like 3 or 4 days. At that point in my life, it was my experience that white dinner wasn't delicious. I'd rather go home and fry some bologna or some shit like that. But then old Timmy threw me a curveball I wasn't expecting. He said, well, it's too bad you can't stay, Dave, because Mom made stovetop stuffing. I said, what the fuck, stovetop? Well, hold on, nigga. Let me make some phone calls real quick. I had seen that commercial so many times, I had dreamt of getting my hands on some of that stovetop stuffing. And finally, I met a motherfucker that actually had a box of stovetop in the house. I couldn't miss this opportunity, so I pretended to call my mother. And then I came back and I said, Timmy, you're not gonna believe this great news. Mom said I can stay. And he said, fantastic. He said, why don't you come with me and we'll help set the table and then we can say the blessing. I had no interest in setting this motherfucker's table or saying these crazy ass Mormon prayers. I just wanted that goddamn stuffing. My hands first. My plan was simple. Wash my hands slowly, and by the time I'm done, the table will be set, the blessing will be said, and all that there will be left to do is eat. Went to the bathroom. I washed my hands very slowly. I must have been in there for about 10 minutes. And suddenly, one of his mothers came to the door. She was like, hi, David, right? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, Timmy tells me that you're planning on staying for dinner. I said, I hope that's not a problem, ma'am. She says, no, it's no problem. In fact, we'd love to have you. It's just that we weren't expecting company. And I'm afraid there's not enough stovetop stuffing for everybody. So I kicked her in the pussy. Bam! Ladies and gentlemen, I told you I'm dope, nigga. I told you what I was gonna say, and you still didn't see it coming. And that's why I make the big bucks. Oh my God. But there's a more important reason that I would stop doing comedy right now. And this reason is the real reason that's been percolating, and it really is the crowd, not you. I'm talking about the crowd on the big stage. It's too hard to entertain a country whose ears are so brittle. Motherfuckers are so sensitive, the whole country has turned into bitch-ass niggas. Everything you say upsets somebody. You know, I can remember when it all started. It was when I was doing Chappelle's Show. When I was doing Chappelle's Show, I used to do the show, and then on the weekends, I'd do, like, concerts and shit like that. So I'm doing a concert, and there was a couple in the front row. Beautiful couple. The wife was obviously Asian. You could see it in her face. The husband, this motherfucker was mysterious, to say the least. Couldn't quite pinpoint where he was from. Caramel-colored fella, very nice hair, but he could have been from anywhere. Bangladesh, Mexico. I can't guess with a nigga like this. All I knew for sure about this guy is that his wife was a bitch. I could see that in her face, too. No, he was laughing and having a good time, and she was scowling at me at a goddamn comedy show. I couldn't figure it out. And then I realized at some point that she was pregnant, and I was smoking on stage. I said, oh my God, that's probably why she's mad. So I started to put my cigarette out, but then she hit me with one of them fake non-smoker calls. So I just kept smoking. I thought to myself, bitch, that babe will be fine, relax. And I tried to break the tension. I just asked her. That's all I said. I go, hey, where are you guys from anyway? And I could tell that she was on to me. She goes, very condescendingly, she says, I'm from California. If you're asking my ethnicity, I am Chinese. He was like, I'm Mexican, bro. I said, well, I'm sorry if I offended you by asking, but you're a very beautiful couple. And miss, there's no question that you're going to give birth to the hardest working baby this world has ever seen. That's not a bad joke. She got very upset. She got up to leave immediately. But she didn't just leave. She had to take one last dig at me on the way out. I will never buy one of your fucking DVDs again, Dave Chappelle. I said, ma'am, with all due respect, Chinese people don't buy DVDs. And the crowd went crazy. We were all laughing, having a good time. I didn't even think anything of it. And then just 3 days later, this lady sends a fucking letter to my promoter telling him not to book me for shows anymore because I was, quote, racist, huh? And I'm quoting her, insensitive to the nature of my interracial marriage. I was like, oh, word, bitch, I was. If she would know that I myself am in an interracial marriage. That's right. In fact, my wife is Asian too. Surprise, bitch, I'll see you on Thanksgiving. But my wife's not Chinese. She's Filipino. That's right, that's right. And our kids are Puerto Rican somehow, so there you go. But I don't give a fuck about interracial marriage. In fact, you know what? My mother is half white. A lot of people don't know that. Well, all right, you were a little too excited, but okay. A lot of people don't believe me when I say that, but it's true. You can't tell looking at me. But if I grew my hair out, you would think you was at a fucking Cat Williams concert. My shit is beautiful. But motherfuckers are just taking it too far. I don't know why or how everybody got this goddamn sensitive. You know who hates me the most? The transgender community. Yo, yeah, these motherfuckers. I mean, I didn't realize how bad it was. These motherfuckers are really mad about that last Netflix special. It's tough, man. I don't know what to do about it because I like them. I always have. Never had a problem with them. You know, just fucking around. As a matter of fact, I think I make fun of everybody. And I mean, as a group of people, they have to admit, it's kind of fucking hilarious, man. I'm sorry, bro. It's like, I've never seen somebody in such a hilarious predicament not have a sense of humor about it. They're born feeling like there's something other than they're born as, and that's kind of funny, you know? I mean, it's funny if it's not happening to you. It's like that white black bitch that's in the news all the time. Rachel Dolezal. She's a white woman, but then she dressed up like a nigga and shot her way up to the very top of blackness. And I always wanted to meet her just so I could understand. I just wanted to like have dinner with her so I could just look in her eyes and call her a nigger to her face. The fuck is that bitch talking about? I identify black. That is trans talk, lady. Stop biting. It's a big difference between her and a trans. The difference between her and a trans is I believe transgenders. I don't understand them either, but I know they mean what they say. Them niggas cut their dicks off. That's all the proof I need. I've never seen somebody just throw their dick away. Don't need it. I don't understand, but I believe you, and I support your decision, motherfucker. But how far is Rachel willing to go? What is Rachel willing to do so that we blacks can believe that she believes she's actually one of us? Bitch, are you willing to put a lien on your house? Invest in a mixtape that probably won't work out? She didn't even change her name. didn't even change her name. Her name is Rachel. I can't believe in that name. If you want my support, you're gonna have to change your name to the blackest shit I've ever heard. Bitch, you're gonna have to change your name to Draymond Green. I don't know a blacker name than that. That shit is black on paper. If you type Draymond Green into Airbnb, that shit will log off automatically. People get mad, bro. People get mad about everything I say. I was doing a show. I was in Portland, Oregon. And I was checked in a hotel under the name Charles Edward Cheese. I came back and there was a note. It was like a letter on my desk. It was addressed to Mr. Cheese. So obviously I'm going to assume that whoever wrote this letter must be an intimate friend of mine. This is not some kind of name that a person would just guess. But then I open the letter and it turns out I don't know this person at all. It's a fan letter. You know, I'm not even used to the idea that I have fans, but I'm grateful for it. And even though I'm grateful for fans, I don't read those letters. Be nice if I did, but realistically, it's like, what am I, Santa Claus, Nick? I don't have time for this. Like, got shit I want to do. I'm trying to chill. Read all these dreams and wishes from strangers. But I read it. I'd already opened it. So I just read the whole letter. And you know what, man? Whoever wrote this letter truly loves me. I mean, they were really fucking nice in the letter. And then they described to me what it was like to come to the show, how excited they were, how much fun they were having. And then they said that when I got to my jokes about transgenders, that they were, quote, devastated. Because it turns out that whoever wrote the letter was transgender. Now, I'm going to be real for a second. You got to understand, I never feel bad about anything I say up here. And I would never admit this to you if I hadn't locked your phones up. But it was the weirdest thing. Like, when I read this letter, the shit made me feel bad. I didn't feel bad about what I said, you understand? I felt bad that I made somebody else feel bad. To be honest, I don't even know what I said that upset that person. I have so many transgender jokes. But I feel like it was probably this joke I'm about to tell you right now. And it's not even that bad of a joke. It's a true joke. I mean, it's not true, but I had read in the paper that Caitlyn Jenner was contemplating posing nude in an upcoming issue of Sports Illustrated. And I know it's not politically correct to say these things, so I just figured, fuck it, I'll say it for everybody else. Yuck. Oh, sometimes I just want to read some stats. I don't know why you're going to cram some man pussy in the middle of the sports page like this. I just didn't think that was the place for it. But I wasn't saying anything like Caitlyn Jenner's a bad person. I'm not mad at her for doing it. I'm not even mad at Sports Illustrated. If I'm mad at somebody, I'm probably just mad at myself. You understand? Because deep down, I know that I am not strong enough to not look at those pictures. And I don't think I'm ready to see what she's trying to show me. So Caitlin, goddammit, if you go through with this thing, bitch, you better go hard or go home. I want you to go all the way. Hustler style. Do you know what hustler style means, miss? That means spread the lips. Oh, she spreads her lips and there's an itty bitty dick inside. Ah! The show is behind the curtains. I don't know what I said that upset that person. But I'm going to tell you something. When I read that letter, and the moments after I read it, I did something that many black men in America do not have the time or the money to do. I thought about how I felt. I asked myself a very basic question that I don't think I ever directly contemplated. I said, man, Dave, if you're writing all these jokes, do you have a problem with transgender people? And the answer is absolutely not. The fuck do you guys think I am? I don't understand all the choices that people make. But I do understand that life is hard and that those types of choices do not disqualify you from a life with dignity and happiness and safety in it. But if I'm honest, my problem has never been with transgender people. My problem is transgender people. I just feel like these things should not be discussed in front of the blacks. It's fucking insulting, all this talk about how these people feel inside. Since when has America given a fuck how any of us feel inside? And I cannot shake this awful suspicion that the only reason everybody is talking about transgenders is because white men want to do it. That's right. I just said that. If it was just women that felt that way, or black dudes and Mexican dudes being like, hey, y'all, we feel like girls inside, they'd be like, shut up, nigger. No one asked you how you felt. Come on, everybody. We have strawberries to pick. It reeks of white privilege. You never asked yourself why it was easier for Bruce Jenner to change his gender than it was for Cassius Clay to change his fucking name? And if I were to be brutally honest, the only reason I ever been mad at the transgender community is because I was at these niggas for six songs straight. And then the lights came up and I saw them knuckles. I said, oh no! And everybody was laughing at me. Hi, world star. Psh, 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 psh. I said, why didn't you say anything? And then I heard that sultry voice. I didn't say anything, Dave Chappelle, because I was having a wonderful time. And I wasn't sure how you'd feel about it. I said, you knew how I'd feel. And she said, I'm going home. I don't want any trouble from you. I said, home, it's only two songs left. I mean, we might as well finish tonight. And we ended up having breakfast together. Oh, grow up. That doesn't make me gay. I just titty fucked her. These titties are as real as any titties in L.A. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I was just borrowing a little friction from a stranger. Whoops! It's the madness of youth. The types of mistakes that a man makes when he's young. I wouldn't even know that it's necessarily a mistake. It was a wild night out. But I don't do it like that anymore. I'm old. I'm 44 now. It's the first time in my life I've ever, like, started to physically feel my age. You can... It's tough, man. You know how I know I'm getting old? This is embarrassing, but... I was in my hotel room. I'm not gonna lie, I was jerking off, like. And I was, like, really sweating it out. And this is when I knew I was old. I just gave up in the middle, like nothing even happened. I don't like looking at my dick anymore. My dick looks distinguished. It's old, an old looking dick. It's got salt and pepper hair all around it. My dick looks like Morgan Freeman in the 90s. Without the dots. My dick narrates. Dave pulled me out and started jerking me around and jerking me around. But not with the same vigor as when he was young. He and I both knew nothing was. I see my age and my children. I came home from the road. This is not long ago. I've been gone for, if you can picture, I was gone for weeks and weeks. And when I came back, nobody was home. Now, one person in my family thought that maybe I'd like to see them when I got back. Like, they knew when I was coming back, but they just weren't home. And that shit was a wake-up call. You know, like when my kids were little and the tour bus would pull up to the house, these motherfuckers would spill out. Dad is home. Hooray! And they'd hug me and kiss me. And then as the years went on, they'd get less interested. Hey, everybody, look, it's Mr. Promises back from the road. But empty house, that's some cold shit. And I went into my oldest son's room. I was like, hello, hello. He was gone. And I'd never done this to him before, but for some reason I just did it. I just looked through his shit. Just to see who this motherfucker was becoming. And I found these notebooks and I started going through them. Written as his handwriting. I didn't even know this nigga wrote poems. And then I looked through his drawers and I opened up his middle drawer and I found his rolling paper. And I looked down at them papers like, oh, that's where that poetry's coming from. And that shit broke my heart. I mean, I smoke weed, but I mourned my son's innocence. And I cried a little bit. And I took his papers upstairs to my room. Rolled some weed that I'd hid from the family. And I got really high. And then I got paranoid. So I put his papers back how I found them. So he wouldn't know what I was up to. This nigga won't even know that that happened until he sees the special. Yeah, nigga, I found your papers. He's a cold motherfucker. Let me tell you, this kid is only 16 years old. Listen to what he did to me. This motherfucker calls me up in the middle of the night. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. He goes, Dad, don't be mad. I knew something was, what's going on? He said, listen, I'm fine. And don't forget, you told me to do this. I'm at a party and my designated driver had too much to drink. And me and my friends need you to come pick us up. I said, Jesus Christ, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, nigga. I am shit-faced. Well, I figured, fuck, it's better me than some kid. I might as well roll the dice and go pick my nigga up. I said, all right, I'm coming to get you. Address and I'll be right there. And then he gave me the address and I was shocked. I said, son, you are not gonna believe this, but I'm at the same party, nigga. They grow fast, don't they? Can I ask you a weird question? I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. You don't have to answer it, and if it doesn't go well, we'll just edit it out anyway. Is it weird to be the only white people in a row? Is it weird? I mean, to be honest, does it feel strange? Are you worried at all? Give me your money, motherfucker. I'm just fucking around. I was gonna say. This guy got ice in his veins. He didn't even buckle. You know, like many black men my age, the first time I voted was 8 years ago. Right. I saw Obama on TV and said, oh, I'm voting for this nigga. I remember the day I voted for Obama. I voted in Ohio, and my vote matters in Ohio. Ohio is a battleground state, but when I pulled up to the polls, all the soldiers were in line. There were so many black people in that goddamn line, I didn't even know it was the polls. I thought it was a check cashing place. We were hugging each other, and old people were singing hymns and spirituals. Jay Verdict times 10 or some shit. I've never seen black people that happy. 8 years later, I'm pulling up to the polls again. This time, I'm driving a brand new Porsche because the Obama years were very good to me. I was early voting, and when I parked my car, I figured out something that it would take the rest of the country another week to figure out. I understood that Donald Trump was going to be our next president because in Ohio, unlike D.C., you could see the results in the parking lot. So all these goddamn pickup trucks and tractors and shit. And then I walked up and I saw a long, long line of dusty white people. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, these were the poor whites. And I must tell you, I've never had a problem with white people ever in my life. But full disclosure, it's... we've gotten a lot of trouble out of them. And I'd never seen so many of them up close. I looked them right in their coal-smeared faces. And to my surprise, you know what I didn't see? I didn't see one deplorable face in that group. I saw some angry faces and some determined faces, but they felt like decent folk. No, they did. In fact, I'm not even lying, and I didn't sound fucked up, but I felt sorry for them. I know the game now. I know that rich white people call poor white people trash. And the only reason I know that is because I made so much money last year, the rich whites told me they say it at a cocktail party. And I'm not with that shit. And I stood with them in line, like all of us Americans are required to do in a democracy. Nobody skips the line to vote. And I listened to them. I listened to them say naive, poor white people things. Man.
Xin chào tất cả mọi người nha. Ngày hôm nay mình sẽ hướng dẫn cho người ta bức tranh về cái hông Noel nha. Thì cái hông ngày hôm nay mình tô sẽ có là màu xanh lá, có khuôn mặt, cái miệng. Và ở dưới cái hông sẽ có một đám tuyết màu xanh dương ha. Và những cái cây cỏ màu xanh lá cây, hai cái bông màu hồng có nhị màu vàng. Thì bây giờ mình sẽ bắt đầu tô và hướng dẫn cho người ta bức tranh này ha. Đầu tiên mình sẽ tô mèo á. Bây giờ ta cam cho cái lỗ mũi trước đi nha. Tiếp theo là hình lá con. Ta sẽ lại trước. Thank you. đối với bạn. Tiếp theo là cái clip ở đây. Tiếp theo là bên đây. Cái điều vậy đó. Tiếp theo tôi dưới đây. Mấy lít kìa. Em chỉ sao bữa nè. Em chỉ bằng nhà áo trơn á. Thế hè mình tôi ở dưới nha. Mình cũng sẽ cầm lớp là trước. Em mới về có 6 clip à. Ăn nhanh em chị đi được cái tối giờ mà. Ăn nhanh là đi được cái. Đi không? Chị lấy mì thường cũng được mà. Mì gấu đỏ.
Ăn là em ăn mì chan.
Đó, tôi cho liền.
Chỉ
qua đầu cầu quẹo bên phải thì lại bộ thấy cái tiệm xong rồi đó. Bé chị chỉ cái nhà đi bên lộ bên đó đó, bên xong mình đó. Thì đi cái cầu đó quẹo bên phải là không quẹo trái không? Đặt mình quẹo phải qua đây. Chị chỉ đi. Đó, cầm lỗi là không lỗi bên trái bên kia.
Cái bên này mày lỗi qua cầu
đó thì. Nó sát bên là không có xe.
Sát cũng gần như là cái khoảng cách cũng giống như là.
Đi che mày mua bánh mì vậy đó.
Bây giờ tôi chỉ mày là một cái mà mày biết nè. Mày chạy qua cầu đúng không? Mày đi qua cầu đúng không? Mày đi về hướng đây. Mày nhìn đem điếm là 1, 2, 3 3 cái nhà là tới cái định quán.
Ngoài cầu điếm 3 cái gì
đó. Đúng rồi, không. Bên nhà bên đây là điếm
nè. Nè, thì nói chung là cái định quán là được. Điếm 3
cái điểm.
Nè,
mua
là một bọc mì chằn.
Còn mày không biết á, mày hỏi là nhà bà Ba Nhân ở đâu.
Dạ.
Rồi hỏi em chỉ, nó quẹo trái ra, nó quẹo cái đường bên đường đi chợ mình á, quẹo kiếm xe bánh mì nó mua. Đó, mình sẽ tơ cho đều.
Ở đây nè, chị thơ. Đi xuống đây nè, tôi nhắc lại nghe, cậu đi xuống đây đừng đi lên nha. Đúng rồi. Đây, tôi
lên nó
gì
hả? Đó, sẽ tơ cho đều nha. Tiếp theo mình sẽ tô là mùn rau. Rồi cuối cùng là xin lắc, đó, xin lắc cay. Ở chị hai em chị quay đủ chục clip của em chị hả đi? Mấy giờ chị? Mấy giờ chị? Tiếng Nhật trong màu. Ủa sao chị nhắn tin với bà chủ shop á? Chị nhắn tin với bà nói chút nữa em xuống mà.
Làm chỗ khác mà.
Ủa?
Làm chỗ trên chỗ của mình mà chứ có phải đi lên trước ở trên kia.
Chỗ đó. Của mình chắc ở đây giờ còn mở mà.
Nhưng mà đây là giờ này vừa
đó và mình đã tô xong rồi ha. Đây chính là thành phẩm của mình, cây hồng ha. Cảm ơn mọi người xem nha. Bye bye.